Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome. Good to see you all this morning. If you've been out and about or watching television or reading the newspaper or just talking with people, you've probably had the opportunity to think about what you want to do, be, or have in 2012. Call it goals, call it resolutions, call it, gee, I'm sick and tired of this, I would really like to do, be, or have, dot, 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 whatever it is, whether you officially or unofficially call it a goal or a resolution, it's out there, I bet. And what happens for me is after I make the list, or even just in my mind, this is what I want to do, and this is how I want to do it, and then this is when I want to do it, then very soon my ego, the other still small voice that is not so still or so small, tells me all the reasons why that couldn't possibly happen. And if you have a goals list and things on the list are a carryover from prior years, sounds like an income tax statement, but if it's a carryover from a prior year, then your mind is really going to tell you all the reasons why that couldn't possibly happen. The other still small voice, spirit, the universe, God, our higher power, that always speaks to us gently and peacefully and lovingly, will tell us all the reasons that it can happen. So this morning, we're going to talk about those reasons, what we also call excuses for why that couldn't happen, that will allow us to move forward in whatever it is, because whatever it is can happen. So I'm glad you're with me this morning. Our congregational song is Come Together. It's on the white sheet in your bulletin, and stand if you would as we sing. Seated. Now Jerry Collins will lead us in our invocation and centering prayer.
Our reading this morning comes from The Trance of Scarcity by Victoria Castle. Most of us have developed a Herculean tolerance for suffering, and we put up with far more of it than what is biologically wired into our nervous system as part of our internal survival gear. Our survival instinct increases our awareness of stimulus, especially pain, alerting us to adjust to conditions as they occur. Feel that burning in your hand? Let go of the electric fence. But if we believe that no adjustment would help, we keep turning down the volume on our aliveness. We believe our pain or difficulty to be inescapable, we numb our desperation. Our belief in scarcity shows up in our bodies as a lack of aliveness, and in our lives as an experience of lack or limitation. See if any of these statements sound familiar. I am not enough. There is never enough to go around. Nothing comes easy. That'll never work. Most of us have been repeating such statements to ourselves for decades, and as far as we know, they accurately describe reality. Really, though, they are just ideas. Richard Bach wrote, "Argue for your limitations, and they are yours." And right now, let us just close our eyes and take a deep breath and let it out. And let us know together that there truly is only one power, presence, mind, life, and intelligence, that which we call God. That beautiful, perfect, whole, complete, infinite intelligence that runs through all of us as us, because it is us. And that God presence, that life, light, love, joy, beauty, peace, and power, all that we can name God is, whether we call it positive, negative, whatever it is, it's all God. And right now I know as we set the tone for this new year, that we are filled with the zest, the zeal, the passion, that very burning energy within us to express, to experience all the good things in our lives. And I know that as this intelligence and this power and this love and this light, it runs through us, that every good and perfect gift that it has to offer is ours. If we can only make our belief systems and bring them into alignment with them and raise our energy level, So as we go within right now into the silence, let's think about that energy level, raising our energy to the area where manifestation occurs. That zeal, that zest, that love. Let's feel it now as we go into the silence. Thanks, because I truly know that all the energies in the universe are conspiring together for my good. Let us always remember that the dreams and desires of my heart, as I lift them into the light, become reality into manifestation through this power, through this love, through this light. For this truth, for this time, I am truly deeply grateful as we say together, and so it is.
Thank you, Leslie, very much. That was terrific. Glad you found that. That was terrific. So we're talking this morning about yes, but. All those reasons that our families, our egos, our past, the world with a small W tells us that, gee, that's such a nice idea, but that couldn't possibly happen. And our purpose this morning is to look at least one of those areas in our lives where we say, boy, I really want to do be or have that, and then we get those messages. Our purpose this morning is to lovingly release those messages. People in our lives oftentimes will tell us, you know, that's such a great idea, and that feels really good to me as well, and I hope you get to do that, but you know, in this economy, you know, you couldn't sell a house in this economy. Wanna bet? You couldn't find a job in this economy. Wanna bet? You couldn't whatever it is in this economy. What we know about this economy is the universe, God, Spirit, our higher power, has not changed one iota from 10 years ago, 20 years ago. It's all in the experience. And we have wonderful people, including wonderful people in this very room, who are selling houses at prices that the common thought is, there's no way that could happen for you. But that's what the world says. Jesus said, my kingdom, and we remember when he said my or I, he was referring to the Christ consciousness, which he had, which we all have, my kingdom. So our kingdom is not of this world. This world that he's referring to is the world of effect, the world of lack and limitation and struggle. But our kingdom, our experience, is not of that world. Our kingdom, our experience, is the world of absolute possibility, the universe always saying yes. Such a great song. Love that song. Not yes, but yes. If you look at your list, and it might be getting a new car, cleaning out the garage, losing weight, finding the relationship, whatever it is, that might be whatever it is. And it might not be a do, be, or have. It might just be learning to stand in your own truth and speaking what's right for you and what's not right for you. But more often than not, if you look at the list, I'll bet you'll find that is based in scarcity. Next Sunday, Victoria Castle, who is the author of The Trance of Scarcity, is going to be with us for the Sunday service. She's going to be the guest speaker this in the morning, and then she's going to do a workshop in the afternoon based on this book. I love this book, and I so hope you'll be here for it and also invite your friends to come. Because if you think about it, the reasons, and I'll talk about reasons versus excuses in a few minutes, but the reasons that we didn't do that in 2011 was because we didn't have enough time. We didn't have enough money. We didn't have enough. There wasn't enough. Whatever it is. Did you get enough sleep last night? A dear friend of mine once gave this example. If you wake up in the morning and fall out of bed with the thought that I didn't have enough sleep last night, then you won't have had enough coffee and you won't have had enough time and you won't have had enough dot, dot, dot. And so you start the day in a, on a platform of not enough, and you go through the rest of the day in that same mode. If you've ever had that experience, and then the next day you get out of bed and say, yes, I got more than enough sleep because my power, my passion, my joy comes from the presence of spirit within me, so the amount of sleep I got doesn't make any difference. And you go through the day in a completely different view, and the day works. Try that tomorrow morning. Think of me when you get out of bed, and try that and see what you think. It's absolutely been my experience. In the book, if you're familiar with the book, The Trance of Scarcity, and I used it a couple of months ago as my book for the month, she talks about our story. And the story is that I just really wanted to do that, but there wasn't enough. Or the story was of whatever the experience was. And the example she uses in the book was when she was in high school. And some of you may remember this story. She was in high school and she went to the prom. And it was wonderful. And her date was just so cute. And they danced and they had a wonderful time and a wonderful evening. And they exchanged phone numbers. And she waited by the phone the next day and he didn't call. And the next day, and he didn't call. And the next day, and he didn't call. And by that time, she was hysterical. So she went to her brother, who was a year behind her in high school, and said, okay, why didn't he call? I'm ugly. I'm not good enough. We had a terrible time. My breath was bad. Whatever. All the reasons why he didn't call. And her brother, in his wisdom, said the reason that he didn't call was because he didn't call. Wow. But how often do we have an experience and we attach a story to it? The reason that that relationship ended was because he or she was a dirty, rotten so-and-so, or I wasn't good enough, or I didn't deserve it anyway, or all of those stories, versus the reason that it ended was because it was finished. And it was the opportunity to go on to something new. That's all. In the book, Victoria talks about how these stories mold our lives, but at any point, we can go back to the story buffet, which is this whole long table that stretches as far as the eye can see, with every, in a bowl, instead of carrot raisin salad, the bowl is a story of lack. And there's another bowl of struggle, and another bowl of not good enough, and there's a bowl of joyful abundance, and a joy of ease and grace. Well, probably one bowl of ease and one bowl of grace, but you get the thing. So what we can do, because it's only a story, is we drop the plate in the dirty plate bin and go to the beginning of the buffet, take a clean plate, and get a new story. Because all it is a story, we can go back to the buffet and get a new story. Feels really good. You may have a story about speaking up for yourself. And what I know, I've talked with several dear ones over the last couple of weeks, and a big thing for them has been being able to stand in their truth with family members or friends and say, no, I'm not doing that anymore. And if you have a situation in your life where it's time for you to do that, stay tuned. I was watching I Love Lucy. And this came to mind because Leslie and I were talking about I Love Lucy before the service this morning. The episode about they're going to Europe. Ricky has booked his band on a tour of Europe. And Fred's going to be the band manager. And Lucy and Ethel obviously want to go with them. but it's going to be about $3,000, which in 1956 was pretty close to a fortune. So how are we going to raise $3,000 to get to go to Europe? Well, it's never an easy cut and dried experience. If you've ever watched an I Love Lucy, you know that there's a great big story surrounding whatever it is. And you may remember the story that she and Ethel have raffle tickets printed and raffle off this television for this organization that they make up, which is just slightly illegal, and the FBI gets involved, and so, you know, but the point of the story is almost at the end when they're pulling the raffle ticket, they're talking about sending two dear little ladies to Europe. Dear little lady. Is that just the most condescending label that you could, you know, dear little lady, we'll take care of you, it's okay. If you come from that, remember growing up, many of us were told children are to be seen and not heard. Many of us were taught you're supposed to be quiet. Women are to be quiet in the church. Paul said that. Is it any wonder over time that so many of you, and us in general, but you in particular, have grown up with an idea that I can't really stand up for myself, I can't speak my truth, I just have to be quiet and it's okay and just put up with it. And I couldn't possibly say, I'm not doing that. Today is the best day to say, I'm not doing that. We bring all of those lessons with us. We bring all of those things, and sometimes they affect us in a wonderful way because we know how to cross the street, you wait for the light, and you know that you probably shouldn't talk to strangers, and you don't go up and pet a dog unless you ask the owner first. But there are those other rules and regulations that we got as we grew up, many of them because they were the custom at the time, or they were because of that's what our parents and grandparents and great-grandparents believed and knew. That's how they lived their lives, so they passed it along to us. So if your goal is to lovingly release some area of your life that doesn't work, and that area could be a family member or a situation or a whatever, you may say, you know, you stand in your power and you say, yes, I can do this, and your ego says, yes, you can, but you better not, because you're not supposed to. That is no longer the truth. That is no longer the truth. Public speaking is the most amazing thing. They've done studies that public speaking, death, bankruptcy, and there's something else. But they're in the top four things that adult human beings fear the most. Public speaking is in the top. And I gotta tell you, I still get a few butterflies before I get up here on Sunday morning because, oh God, what if I forget what I'm going to say? What if nobody shows up? What if I say a bad word? What if all those things? But when you do it the first time, it's the most amazing thing. And I was talking with a dear friend of mine that's a teacher in San Diego Unified School District, and you may remember a few months ago, they went through the meetings and weekly meetings about the budget and all these jobs that were going to be cut and just so on and the upheaval and all the rest of this. And she, who just had trouble, had a situation in her life many years ago and just had trouble standing up in front of people, went to the city council meeting and stood up and spoke. And it changed your life. Because what it does for you is it gives you that confidence and it gives you the reminder that you are a valuable person and you have something important that people need to hear. But public speaking for you may not be on this platform, It may not be at a Toastmasters meeting. It may not be at a city council meeting. It may be standing in front of one or two or three people and speaking your truth. It's so important for us because as soon as you do it, then you're done. And you look back and say, wow, they didn't run out the door screaming. They didn't say, I don't love you anymore. You didn't have a heart attack and fall down and die. You did it. You ate the frog. And you remember the story about the goals that we have and the things that we really don't want to do are like a frog, and they're sitting on the desk there just smiling at you every morning, and you eat the frog and you do what you need to do, and if you don't, it's in the afternoon, it's still sitting there. And tomorrow morning there are two frogs, and then four frogs, and then eight frogs, and then 16 frogs, and so on, until you consciously choose to do that. So your ego says you can't really stand up for yourself because, you know, you're not really good enough. People aren't going to believe what you say. You really need to make everybody happy. And you say, no, that's not my truth anymore. And you stand in your truth and your life changes. You do it with love. You do it with compassion and understanding, but you say, I'm not doing this anymore. It's huge. And if you have a situation in your life where that rings true for you, I so invite you to look at that and see that you are worthy of standing in your truth and saying, this is true for me or this is not true for me, and make those changes that make your heart sing. Wayne Dyer says, our excuses are explanations and defenses, most of which just serve to keep us playing small. But I would say that once we determine what it is, once we determine the reason, because there's a reason, we were taught that, or we had a situation where somebody told us that, or whatever, but once we determine the reason, then if we don't do something about it, it becomes an excuse. There is nothing you need to do today. There is nothing you must do. But the point is, don't we want to go through 2012 in joy, in passion, in excitement, in with every area of our life working? We don't have to. We can keep going along with the rock in our shoe. But if there's an area of our lives that we can look at and say, this no longer serves me, instead of continuing to list all the reasons why it doesn't, and we know it doesn't, but we can't really change it, we can make those changes. I invite you to close your eyes for just a minute. Think about that one area, and there may be several and there may be just one, and you may have to think for a couple of minutes, and that's okay. Just think about that one area of your life that's at top of the list that you'd like to either have more of, to do, be, or have, or to no longer do, be, or have. So we're accepting the experience of, or we're accepting the experience of the release of. Think about that for just a moment. And once you have that in your mind, go ahead and open your eyes and come on back. So we're talking about all the excuses for why we can't, but don't worry, because before we finish this morning, we'll walk out the door with the reason why we can. In your bulletin is a yellow sheet. And there are two sides to the yellow sheet, and the first one that I'd like for you to look at with me, the catalog of common excuses with just the 18. The other one has the reasons why you can, but don't cheat and look at that. Just look at the first one with just the excuses. These, of course, are from Wayne Dyer's great book, Excuses Be Gone. And many of these ring true for me, looking at whatever it is, and they may for you as well. Somebody's book. Is it Debbie Ford's book, The Best Year of Your Life? One of the books I was going through talked about this woman that was 70 years old and she was going to go back to college. 70 years old, walking around San Diego State. And the person she was talking with said, well, you're only going part-time. It's probably going to take you 10 years. You're going to be 80 by the time you finish it. And the lady said, yeah, I'll be 80 in 10 years if I don't do it, so why don't I go ahead and do it? Have you ever had a situation where you looked at it and you said, this looks like it might be difficult, but imagine how I'm going to feel when I'm done. Imagine the power. I think it's Debbie Ford's statement, or she may not have it copyrighted, but what's going to be available to me when I finish this? How am I going to feel with this accomplishment? How am I going to feel when I stand up to whoever I need to stand up to, speak my truth in a loving way, and allow them, encourage them, require them to do what they need to do? It may be difficult, but imagine the feeling, imagine the sense of accomplishment you'll have when it's done. You know, we're all about easy. Many of us are all about, you know, society in 2012, you know, thinking back to I Love Lucy, I need $20. So what are you going to do? You're going to go change into presentable clothing, because if you've ever watched the show, you know that if they were going on the subway, they were in a suit. Ricky would have been in a suit and tie. Lucy and Ethel would be in a dress with hose and heels and a hat and the whole thing. You just didn't run down to the bank in shorts and flip-flops. So in 1956, I need $20. So I got to change clothes. I got to get on the subway. I got to go to the bank, stand in line, write the check payable to cash, and cash the check. We've gotten so far away from that, or if I've got a $20 check I want to deposit, not only do I not need to change my clothes, I don't even need to get out of the bed because I can scan it on my iPhone and it pops into the bank account. That's preposterous. But we've gotten away from anything that looks the slightest bit difficult. But imagine how you'll feel when it's done. It's going to be risky, and I'll combine it. It's going to be risky with there'll be family drama. There may be. But what do we have if we don't have our personal integrity? What do we have if we can't at the end of the day say, you know, I did what was necessary for me? That's the most important feeling for us. This just doesn't work for me, because when we stand in our integrity, in love and compassion and all the rest of that, and say, this no longer works for me, chances are whoever it is we're talking to so needed to hear that. They so needed us to do what we did, because it would then propel them to go and do what they have to do. Sometimes we enable people to stay stuck in their stuff by allowing them to stay stuck in their stuff. And while everybody's on their own path, it looks like we're taking care of them. It looks like we're doing for them, but we're really not. We're really enabling them to stay small, and our staying small doesn't benefit them. So we need to allow them to express the truth of who they are as we express the truth of who we are. I don't deserve it. We talked about that. It's not my nature. I can't afford it. No one will help me. we have the most amazing team of ministers and practitioners in this church. And if you have a project that you're working on, please do either put a prayer request in or call the office or talk with one of the ministers or practitioners after the service this morning, because we are absolutely here to support you in whatever it is you're choosing to experience. It's never happened before. How often do we base our future on the past? Our ego will tell us, well, that's been on your goals list for 5 years. What makes you think this year is going to be any different? The truth is, this year is a brand new year. We are every day different physiologically, emotionally, and spiritually. We are different this year, this day, than we were yesterday. So just because it didn't happen before doesn't mean it can't happen and won't happen for us in 2011 or this very day. I'm not strong enough. I'm not smart enough. See that there's that scarcity stuff. I'm somehow not enough. I don't have enough. I'm just not able. And it's not the truth for us anymore. The rules won't let me. It's too big. I don't have the energy. It's my personal family history. That's a really good one. Everybody in my family is or isn't. But everybody's on their own path. Our family makes their choices and they're on their own path, as are we. And we can say, the important thing to say is, up till now, I've done or not done or haven't been able to do, but this is a new day and I'm stepping out in my truth and moving forward. I'm too busy. I'm too scared. Change is scary. Even if the change is the greatest thing that you could possibly imagine, change can be scary. But when we're standing in our truth, knowing that we're divinely supported, we can make those changes to move forward, knowing that we're divinely guided all the way. Now, those are all the reasons why we can't. Those are the yes buts. On the other side of the yellow sheet gives you an affirmation for every single one of those excuses, but I'd like to boil it all right down and say, the reason that we can is because, as Jesus said, the Father within doeth the work. The Father within being Spirit, God, the universe, our higher power, whatever we choose to call it, that presence within us, that intuition, those epiphanies like I talked about last week, that tell us what we need to know. I don't know about you, but oftentimes I find myself trying to figure out, well, do this. No, well, if that doesn't work, we'll do this. Well, if this doesn't work, we'll do this. If at the beginning I said, I don't know how to do this, and gave it in to Spirit, ask the question. You remember Jesus said, ask, seek, and knock. If you've ever had the experience of, I don't know what to do with this. I don't know how to heal this. I don't know how to grow this. I don't know how to change this. We can ask. And the most amazing insights come to us from this loving, nurturing presence of Spirit. Life, with a capital L, that we define as God, is for us and always tells us when we need what we need to know when we allow it to. So rather than waiting till the very end and after having exhausted everything else, then asking, we get to the point where we ask first. I'm nervous about this. I don't know what to say, but I know Spirit does. I'm nervous about this. I don't know what to do, but I know Spirit does. And give in, not give up, give in, because that's where spirit is, and allow yourself to hear what you need to know to resolve whatever it is. So that instead of saying yes, but, we say yes. Sometimes we need to say, I don't know. And it's okay to say, I don't know. Great quote from Victoria Castle's book. She says, your job is not to figure everything out. Your job is to tune in and become available to infinite possibility. This is about having a hearty appetite with an assurance that you'll be nourished. Trade your tendency to try hard in favor of inspiration. You're giving up separation and choosing a sense of belonging. You're exchanging worry and intensity for fulfillment and delight. So again, the goal, the resolution, may not be a physical something. It may be finally having the chutzpah to stand in our truth and clean out what no longer serves us. But there is no better day than today to take the opportunity to do that. So with that in mind, let's move into the light. I invite you to listen to these words from the book Good For You by Ernest Holmes. I now accept my divine birthright. I now consciously enter into my partnership with love, with peace, with joy, with God. I feel the infinite presence close around me. I feel the warmth, the color, and the radiance of this presence like a living thing in which I am enveloped. I am no longer afraid of life. A deep and abiding sense of calm and of poise flows through me. I have the faith to believe that the kingdom of God is at hand. It is right where I am, here, now, today, at this moment. I feel that there is a law of good which can, will, and does govern everything. Therefore, I feel and know everything in my life is constructive. Everything in my thought that is life-giving is blessed and prospered. This law of good blesses everyone I meet. It makes glad every situation I find myself in. It brings peace and comfort to everyone I contact. I am united with everything, in love, in peace, and in joy. And I know that the presence of love and life gently lead me and all others, guiding, guarding, sustaining, and upholding, now and forever. We accept this as our truth. We know and feel it to be so. And together we say, and so it is.